Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
I still have no idea what we're doing.
What are we doing? That's right, I'm doing me.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike.
Cliff, get your finger off that button. He's been happy with it the last 2 days.
Hell no.
I can say, God. Cliff has found a new toy and he's wearing us out with it right now. Cliff saying hell no to pretty much anything that is bringing us joy right now, but that is not going to stop us because we are fans around this show, around Jhené Golic Jr. of Chaos, and we're getting it all over sports right now. We're getting plenty of it out of one of my favorite places in the world, Jerry World. It's a phenomenal stadium. It is an incredible game day experience, and it has got an owner slash GM slash, as Trey Uingo used to say, Grand Poobah, Master of Space-Time Continuum in that spot, who just lives to kind of bristle all of us. And we'll let you know what Jerry has done and said now that's got everyone fired up. We've got Giannis out here making his first public comment since arriving at Bucks training camp, saying he is not focused on a Supermax deal. Jhené, have you ever been so rich in life, rich in money, rich in love, or rich in kindness, that you were able to not think about a Supermax extension of that reported value?
Nah, man. I'm good. Like, come on. He's saying what he needs to say so that they stay off his back. And that's what he's doing.
He's saying what he needs to say to remind them that he ain't signing a damn bit of nothing until we see what happens during the course of this season. And you can believe that from Giannis. Just listen to him. He's talking again now, Kyrie. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And so, before we get to all of that, because it is going to become a very interesting situation in the NBA, Jhené, as fans of Chaos, we are getting some of it around college football. And it's funny because it is going to be viewed as chaos when, to me, it seems logical. The Big Ten made the announcement today themselves that they're going to waive that 6-game minimum requirement for the Big Ten championship game to allow Ohio State to be eligible. So, 5-0 undefeated Ohio State, who had their game against Michigan canceled this weekend, is now going to win or lose, if they're able to find a replacement game for this weekend, be facing Northwestern in that Big Ten title game. And I'm curious for you, Jhené, as someone with Pac-12 roots as a Stanford alum and who just understands and looks at this, you know, from the outside perspective, outside of the Big Ten, how would you feel if you're another team, if you're Texas A&M and Florida, just on the outside looking in, watching this happen to a team like Ohio State?
I would want the same to happen to me if I had a chance to compete. And we also worthy, and I'm talking to everyone watching The Crown after they finish watching The Undoing, the crown jewel of the Big Ten, Ohio State. I would hope that every conference would want to push their top teams forward, especially in a year where everyone has sacrificed. And I feel like it's only a good look. And, you know, looking at this scenario, I feel like it's been a roller coaster when it comes to the Big Ten. And they've created these rules. They took time. You know, they didn't do it like the Pac-12 where they actually were transparent with the information. They're like, we're going to shut this down. And then actually we're going to start this up after the public pressure. And now we're starting this up, but we're only giving you a small, hard runway. And now this runway can't be moved, but actually it can. So I really don't know what to think other than reward the athletes that deserve to be there. And I know it's tough because the parameters in which this changes some other team, like, yeah, like you would love to slide your way in, but don't you want the best of the best to compete? And I feel like that's exactly what they're doing, even if it seems like it's not necessarily as, you know, linear this year as it normally should be.
I was going to say, if you're a team that's upset about what's happening with Ohio State, the people you should be upset about are the College Football Playoff Committee, the ones that have ranked them at 4, the ones that have made this conversation even remotely possible. Because, Jhené, all the Big Ten did was what you've seen every movie stepdad ever do. What do we always see? The kid sad sitting outside because his dad told him he was going to come out and play catch with him, but then he had to stay late to work on the case, and all of a sudden he comes home and the kid's in bed, bummed out, doesn't want to talk to him, because you created an expectation. And that is what Big Ten leadership did with this 6-game minimum. If we had never had this, and Ohio State sitting at this situation at 5-0, they'd be playing in the Big Ten title game same as they are now. We would have known this was coming, and we would have probably, there would have maybe been some hairs raised by it, but in general, I think there would have been a lot less fuss had you not created that expectation of a game of catch, picking them up from school, whatever you needed to do, and instead now you've got a situation where people are going to get bent out of shape about something that was made up anyway.
And I guess this just brings it all down to the center point. a lot of times, and this is what happens with college athletics, you're worried about the wrong thing.
Yep.
You're worried that, hey, maybe a team with one or two wins and there's another team out there that actually goes out there and handles their COVID right, you know, and they amass more, 5, 6, 7 wins. Like, they deserve it more than the one or two wins. That's not even like where the focus point should have been. It should have been creating a scenario that is fluid. And that's exactly what we've seen, but I just think it's been bungled, or I think that's the word, right? Bungled, the whole way, because realistically, based off of those fears, what's the reality? 4 of the 14 teams that played 7 games through the first 7 weeks of the season, like 4 out of 14 actually made it to 7 games and played. The odds were not in the favor of the players and the teams making it the full length. You just had to know that going through this process, it was going to be bumpy, but instead you've created these railroads that now you have to go back and be thankful that you use pencil instead of pen and can correct your error.
It is never too late to do the right thing. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chenan Gwimakay. Chenan, I think it's worth noting, because you brought up that point about the focus on the right thing. That focus tends to largely be driven by the conference head. That focus largely tends to be stuff that fans worry about in this situation, because you know this, when you're an athlete, the view is so myopic that I can't imagine a bunch of college football players in the middle of what they've dealt with in a global pandemic are really going to spend a ton of time worrying about someone else's path to thing. They might feel slighted by this, but at the end of the day, you got to go out there and be so singularly focused. If you're even in shouting distance of what's going on right now, I can't imagine that's something that's creeping all that much into your worldview.
Yeah, let's talk about that though. Like, student athletes, of course we compete against one another, right, at a high level, but at the same time we want our representatives. For me, it was the Final Four. For you, it's the, you know, national championship game, the college football playoff. You want those to be the best. So even in a year where it might seem like, okay, the rules might be different for different teams based on different guidelines and systems, you still, at the core of being a student athlete, you still have pride in your conference, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, in the pack, I was fortunate to be a part of the Stanford, where we oftentimes were the team going to the Final Four. And guess what? We had a lot of people from different teams and, you know, Oregon or Washington, whoever the case is, the next generation coming up, that were rooting for us to succeed. And I think that's the elemental nature of student athletes. It's just when that gets extrapolated and we start going macro, and now it's, you know, media, local media, and then also, you know, bigger form conversations about, oh, this is a slight to one person or the other. That's not the essence of what we love when it comes to college athletics. And I think that's actually being rewarded now by being flexible with this change.
It's so interesting, Chenan, in that regard, because we were talking to Peter Burns, who was on with us before, who does a great job as a host over at the SEC Network, about a lot of the hurt feelings on this were other teams in the Big Ten looking at Ohio State and saying, they're being treated differently than we believe one of us would be treated in that spot right now. It's why I asked earlier this year when we talked to Eric McLean from the ACC Net, do ACC teams and ACC fans want to see Clemson lose to Notre Dame more than they want to see Notre Dame losing coming into the conference? Because you've had one team that has dominated the space for so long. But at the end of the day, what we saw in this situation was even Michigan's athletic directors, Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin, coming through and saying and understanding, hey, we have to think of the greater good of the conference in this whole landscape, and cooler heads prevailed. So at the end of the day, again, the Big Ten made the announcement, no 6-game minimum for the conference championship game, and it was the overwhelmingly level-headed thing to do in a sport that normally doesn't do that, and certainly in a year in 2020 that doesn't reward that. Now, coming up this weekend, don't miss two big fights Saturday at UFC 256 as Davinson Figueiredo puts his belt back on the line and Tony Ferguson returns to the octagon. UFC 256 is exclusively on ESPN Plus and to available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. Now, coming up next, though, if you want entertainment, look no further than Big D. Dallas may have lost the game last night, but they are winning headlines yet again. We'll tell you why next. It's Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. In about 10 minutes, we will check in. We got, in the year of our Lord, 2020, the Dallas Cowboys being flexed out of primetime for the New York Football Giants. I know we have a staff full of happy folks around here. Devin, we have got football weather right now outside of the Giants facility. Joe Judge has to be just thrilled. The temperature's starting to get down low. They're in prime time. It's jacked up over there.
Listen, they're playing the Cardinals. The Cardinals have to come to New York. They're not used to this weather. We are. Let's get it.
Janae, this is something very like unique and I think stupid to football. Like, you get to play a wonderful sport that is climate controlled indoors, and I have to deal with people who walk out like Joe Judge. I bet Joe Judge walks out that first snow and sees the prospect of practicing outside and looks out at his team and says, "Fellas, this football weather right here." And Janae, I've always maintained football weather to me is about 72 degrees with a light breeze. I love football in that weather.
Then why'd you go to ND?
Listen, because at some point we have to make sacrifices for other things that we love. Like,
you should have come to Stanford. We could have been best friends back then.
We could have been a good time. It would have been a great time. I just couldn't deal with that weird tree as my mascot.
And you couldn't deal with the beautiful California weather, 80 degrees, great practice, like walk out, it's air conditioned practically. But it's okay. You did the family tradition. I'm here for it.
It worked out well on both sides, a family affair at both schools, and a situation that produced great times for all. Now, speaking of football weather and speaking of that game, the Dallas Cowboys flexed out of primetime. Like, an insane thing to consider going into this year where all the expectations were heaped on them. But, Janae, we looked around at that situation. Dak Prescott injured, a cavalcade of injuries across that offensive line, and a defense that gave up darn near 300 yards rushing last night. It's unraveled fast there, and so I'm not surprised that to deflect blame away and to deflect the eyes away from what is going on in Jerry World and on the field, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner and GM, is out here going back to putting Dak Prescott's name in his mouth. Here was Jerry Jones talking about the future of Dak Prescott.
I've always handicapped to some degree Dak because of the fact that he's so effective and has been in his career and the running, in the running game. And his ability to take it down and get the big play and get the yards. I've always known that he couldn't do that like that for long in the NFL.
That sound
you can't do that.
That sound courtesy of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And Janae, it seems very transparent, and yet I still find myself fired up on Dak Prescott's behalf.
Okay, before I get to you being fired up on that, I feel like listening to that, it's sort of like when a player is not out there, why do we need to insert ourselves into, I mean, it's the Cowboys, so it makes sense, but still, like, you can take the bait and just be like, you know what, he's working his way back, we believe in him, and instead you take this form of bait where it's now talking about his game, and we all know that this is a sensitive subject. I see this as an overreaction from Jerry Jones on a freakish play and injury, which is tough, but more so, like, if you have concerns with Dak, I understand, and wanting to protect him from future injuries. But we just saw another big concern of yours, your defense, right? Like, I think it was the Browns, and also, as we saw, the Ravens went for near 300 yards on the ground. The Cowboys have allowed more than 200 yards on the ground for the fourth time this season. I think only 24 times happened with the rest of the NFL in general, the field. So I feel like there are bigger issues on his plate than just inserting himself into what Dak needs to do when he gets back. It's like, what do you need to do now to actually put your team in a better position to win?
Janae, it's so interesting to that standpoint, to that end, because I feel like this is the reverse Wizard of Oz, right? Where it's don't mind the man behind the curtain. And Jerry Jones is saying, no, mind me. Don't look at what's going on in the tire fire of Oz right now in this situation. Because Marcus Spears kind of summed up the thoughts on this particular subject. Marcus Spears, our great ESPN NFL analyst and former Dallas Cowboys first round draft pick, said, man, Dak gets hurt on a fluke play, and now Jerry says he needs to avoid taking a hit as a runner. Man, get the hell out of here. Man ain't miss a game before that. Hashtag excuses. And he's right, Janae. This has been one of the more durable quarterbacks that we've seen in this league. That is not an issue in this situation, and that's why this is, to me, a bad faith comment done to distract from what's actually going on, like you said, in Dallas. The interesting part becomes for them, where does this go in the future? Because we have seen a team that you could very easily excuse, Janae, and say they have been injured across the board. They have suffered so much attrition. Andy Dalton just came back from also dealing with COVID like Lamar Jackson did last night. But when you look at this and look at Mike McCarthy, year one, but such an uninspired effort all around from this team outside of that game where he smashed a watermelon. Do you think there's any hot seat conversation to be had about Mike McCarthy and this Cowboys staff going forward?
No, I think over the course of this year, obviously we've seen another case when we were saying the block is hot in Philly, especially with Doug Peterson. I do think that when you deal with your quarterback actually being injured. Like, Philly still has Carson Wentz able to go out there, God willing, right? You know, protection from injury wise. But it's more so like you've dealt with a number of heavy hitter injuries. And then on top of it, you don't know who is available or not available on a week to week. Hopefully you're dealing with COVID to the best way that you're able to. And so this season, I've always said, in certain instances, you can see teams making successes out of the season, but that comes with like an exclamation point, not an asterisk, because the difficulty to make success this year has just been astronomical. And so now for the Cowboys, I feel like we are past the point of, all right, like the expectations are high for you need to win. We just need to see actual progress being made and development being made on a day-to-day basis and not extrapolating on the big picture here, where I guess you can say this was a, I wouldn't even say it's a savvy smokescreen, because like you're actually talking and criticizing your quarterback, the one that everyone sort of is tuned in on and cares about right now, just to detract from what we just saw on the field. But I think the better thing is transparency and honesty, and it seems like every time we want that, that's not what we get from people in power.
No, we get a reminder that this is a quarterback they didn't want to pay when he was healthy, and I can't imagine much of that is going to change on the other side of this or get easier there. It's a re-up of all the things that we believed a lot in this situation already on this one, and I'm going to... It's going to be interesting to watch down the stretch. Mike Nolan, their defensive coordinator, like at some point, what we just saw in New York with the Jets, you've got to hold somebody accountable. You paid a lot of players on the defensive side of the ball a lot of money to go out and do this, and so far the results have been disastrous for this Cowboys team. So what the future looks like for them is going to be up in the air, but we've got to figure out, are they going to be willing to hit the reset button? Because we'll check in with one of our NFL insiders next. The Cowboys being flexed out of primetime ain't going to be something that sits well with that man pulling the strings. We will get to all that next after this word from ButcherBox. See, no one actually likes to go to the grocery store, especially not during the holidays. No chance. That's why there's ButcherBox. From free-range organic chicken to heritage-breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat that you can choose from, and their boxes are going to ship fresh right to your door. All you got to do, simple. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR, and you're going to get a free bacon. Get free bacon, not a free bacon. Just free bacon for the life of your membership. You're going to get one free pack of bacon in every box for the life of your membership with ButcherBox. That's in addition to all of the other awesome meats. You're going to get all of that when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. That's ButcherBox.com/CJR. Reset in Dallas. Jerry got the guts. We'll get to that next. Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. About 10 minutes, we're going to tap back into the expertise that Chenay was throwing out for everyone watching The Jump earlier today. She was on with Rachel Nichols, Adam Amin, breaking down a lot of what we're starting to hear.
That's a
fine. That is a blatant fine. I'm going to take that one. Had Adam Amin on the brain, was just reading a funny tweet by him. I owe Amin El Hassan an apology.
His tweets are great, by the way.
His tweets are great. Both of their tweets are great. At Darth Amin, if you want to follow him on Twitter, for Amin El Hassan, who is on The Jump, we will get to a lot of that great NBA content because we're starting to hear things from NBA players again, getting in front of microphones as training camps begin around the league. But right now, we have to stick with the NFL as they get down the stretch of their seasons and check in with our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Adam, we appreciate the time today. We know it's been a busy last 12 hours or so for the NFL after Dez Bryant was pulled out of warmups yesterday before the game against the Dallas Cowboys, the COVID-19 positive in that instance. What's been the response from the NFL and their medical folks in the wake of all of that this morning as they assess the situation?
Well, Mike, I think that they believe right now that they did the right thing. The league was saying that his test was not reported as inconclusive until he was already on the field. And the BioReference lab is in Jersey, so that's why it came back so quick. And as soon as the test result came back, they got him off the field. They ran a point-of-care test, a MESA test. The results came back positive. They pulled him out. They don't believe that he had tremendously long exposure to anybody on the field. There was hugging. It was photographed, but it was not for an extended period. And they believe that with contact tracing, there were not many people at risk and that they handled it correctly.
here with Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider on Chanae and Golic Jr. Now, Adam, staying with the Cowboys, because the Cowboys take a loss, and we all know the pressure and expectation in this division, the NFC East, has a lot of people wondering on coach's future. And so can you take some time to sort of explain the position that Mike McCarthy's in, and also when it comes to the Eagles, Doug Peterson as well?
Well, in regards to Mike McCarthy, the Jones family has given zero indication, zero, that they would be willing to consider any kind of coaching change, if that's what you're asking. Now, the numbers are atrocious. The team has fallen off. The season's been disappointing. I don't believe that much of this would have been the case if Dak Prescott had been healthy, but it is what it is, and he's not, and they're struggling, and they've been an awful football team this year. And Dan Orlovsky cited some numbers on NFL Live today in which their offensive rankings in certain areas were just above the New York Jets, 31st in the league, and it tells you where they've been. Now, again, the Jones family has said time and time again they're not making a coaching change, so if that's what you're saying, I don't think we're going to see that unless they have a change of heart. In regards to Doug Peterson, I think any time a team struggles the way that the Eagles have, the very first people that are going to be sort of on the firing line or be questioned and criticized will be the head coach and the quarterback. Well, guess what? Coach is already benched, or the quarterback's already benched, and now there are questions about the head coach. So, zero surprise there. The Eagles have had a tremendously disappointing season. The NFC East has basically been gift-wrapped, and they didn't want it. And so, whenever that happens, and whenever there's a fan base as passionate as the one in Philadelphia, there are going to be questions about the head coach. There are going to be questions about the quarterback. We've seen the quarterback benched. We now wait to see what happens with the head coach.
Adam, as you mentioned, these are always going to be questions asked about head coaches who are still currently in their seats. We know already there are a number of jobs available in the NFL, and I want to throw a name out. I saw Chris Mortensen and Daniel Jeremiah tweeting earlier about former Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. How serious do you think he will be when it comes to contention for some of these jobs that are already open and that will continue to come open this offseason?
I think that Marvin, there's a certain element of appreciation for what he's now done, and people realize what he's done in Cincinnati. I mean, he took a team, a franchise that has not been good, and made it relevant. And yes, they didn't win a playoff game, which is why I think there were people that soured him. But Marvin Lewis is a good football coach. He's a great man, knows what he's doing, somebody that's got experience. And how often have we heard that before? I've heard that from so many executives over time. You need somebody who's experienced, somebody that understands how the job works. You know, it's not just about X's and O's as being a head coach. It's about so much more than that. Marvin knows that. So if you want to dial up somebody that has experience, that knows the game, that gets it, Marvin Lewis would be your guy.
Adam Schefter here with us, ESPN NFL insider on Chanae and Golic Jr. Now, speaking of coaches, actually, I mean, Joe Judge has the Giants rolling. But, you know, big picture, long-term-wise, what is the current health status of their quarterback, Daniel Jones?
I think that they are optimistic that he will be able to play this week. I think it's likely that he's going to be out there. Again, you want to see how he makes it through the week of practice, but the early signs are encouraging, and they're in first place, and the guy, they've had to hold him back from himself. And that's what you want to hear in your franchise quarterback. And as long as that's the case, I would expect that Daniel Jones will be playing quarterback against the Cardinals on Sunday.
Schefter, you're right. You always assume that tenacity is going to be there from the player side. And we've seen that on display in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey trying to come back this year from a couple of different injuries now. We've heard there's a quad injury that's now come into play with him. How much does Carolina start to look at the possibility of shutting down a guy that they just paid franchise player money to if this kind of stuff keeps up?
Well, again, just like we're talking about Daniel Jones holding himself back or holding him back from himself, I think it's the same thing with Christian McCaffrey. Like, he was all anxious to get back out there from what was initially the foot ankle injury, and then he had the shoulder injury, and now it's the quad. But obviously, it's become one of those seasons for Christian McCaffrey. And so, yeah, to me, at some point, you know, if you're not going to be in the playoffs, you might as well preserve arguably the most important player on your franchise and not expose him to anything unnecessarily. And I think you're going to start to run into those discussions. Like the Bengals with Joe Mixon, right? Like, why bring him back right now? What's the point of doing that?
Absolutely. It is starting to get to that sort of witching hour of the season, to borrow a Scott Hansen term for this one. Adam, you're the best. We appreciate the insight and information as always. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, guys. Be well. Stay safe.
Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider. And Shanae, I think that's such a great point. I hadn't thought about Joe Mixon, too, but you're getting to a spot in the season now where if you are a team, we see this in college football with the opt-outs from players who are trying to preserve their NFL futures on this one. Christian McCaffrey, what he means to your franchise now that you have paid him top-end running back money in that team, you've got to start thinking long-term on this one because short-term has just been a real tough go this year.
Yeah, that's no question, especially with what he can do potentially. You know, I think, what is he, 23, 24 years old? Like, you have to protect that at all costs.
Got to protect your investment when you've already paid a position that a lot of people question paying the level that they did in 2020 because of what's gone on there. But coming up next, let's shift back and let's start to spill some tea here, as Janae often says. Yeah, I love when NBA players start to get back in front of the microphone, and I love when things start to get leaked out here in the news. So we have got one player looking at a whole lot of money and laughing, and another player looking at Philadelphia wondering what could be. We'll get to both of those next, and we will do all of that after this word from AT&T.
There are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G. Maybe you are a professional race car driver. Then you like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Maybe you're a bodyguard. Then you like AT&T 5G because it's secure. Or maybe you're a librarian and haven't missed a day of work in 27 years. Then you like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now nationwide. AT&T 5G, it is not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. NBA players speaking in front of mics, sipping tea. That's next on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike, and we've got plenty more to try and unpack in the world of college football coming up in a little bit right now. How's the resume of a team like Texas A&M going to stack up against Ohio State, who got the green light from the Big Ten to go ahead and participate in the championship game now? A lot of questions the committee is going to have to contend with down the stretch of this season. But if you want questions with ambiguous and sometimes troubling answers, depending on where you live, look no further than the National Basketball Association.
Yep. Janae, in the building.
In the building, representing. And I enjoyed this, Janae. I saw you. You were on the jump earlier with Rachel Nichols and Mean Al Hassan, doing a great job out there as always. And I saw this soundbite from Giannis Antetokounmpo asked about the contract, the max extension, all these things. And when I heard what Giannis had to say, let's just say everyone in Milwaukee strap in.
Right now, Eric, I'm not focusing on that. You know, I know my agent Alex and John Horst and the Bucks ownership are focusing in about those discussions, and I'm just trying to focus in myself, how I can get better, how I can help my teammates be better, how can we be ready Saturday to play our first preseason game.
Janae, that sounds like a guy who is already looking to see where the grass might be greener.
This is how you game the system, okay? This is an athlete that doesn't want you to freak out. He's trying to handle this situation the best way possible, and he's going to go ahead and say, look, I walked into this scenario knowing exactly what I'm about to say. He went like this, practically. And I'm ruffling my paper for don't know. All these type of questions can be fielded to my agent. I don't want these problems. I want to focus on basketball. And that's what I love about Giannis, and that's the best way forward. I think a lot of times you can get yourself in trouble trying to talk contracts in front of the media and using that pressure, that media pressure, to sort of create these narratives that actually affect your contract. So what Giannis did was smart. He said the company line in that, all right, my agent's going to handle all these type of things. I'm focusing on basketball. Now, if you are in Milwaukee, yeah, that won't feel good. Like, you want the guy to say, hey, I'm ready to, as you said earlier, tap in. Like, I'm going to tap into this season with you guys for the long haul. You guys really prioritize me. You brought in Drew Holiday. There's a lot of positive energy moving forward. But this man needs to think about himself in the long term. And if they're not able to produce a team that actually can compete and harbor his talents, I'm sure other teams would like the opportunity to do so.
Hey, Janae, it seems like other opportunities are going to get the chance to do so. Like, Milwaukee and Giannis are sitting in bed right now, and Giannis's phone is vibrating, and he just flipped that thing over. He said, oh, no, don't worry about it. That's just my mom calling right now. We'll handle that later. And Milwaukee's just sitting there trying to pretend like everything is okay, knowing good and damn well his uncomfortable conversation is coming if things don't change in this marital bedroom, so to speak.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, the situation that is real is that he has the opportunity, I believe, until December 21st to sign that Supermax extension. If he doesn't sign that, he will play this season and then will become, I believe, an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. And can you imagine that type of Giannis Antetokounmpo lottery? It's going to go nuts. And so I think he's trying to play it safe. And this is where I get nervous, the same way Milwaukee's nervous. But I think, you know, as an athlete at your core, you want that stability. But also you want to be in an environment where you've already, I think he's 26 years old. I always tell people, you get that itch. You start getting that itch around 26, 27, 28. We saw that with Anthony Davis. I want to compete at a place where I can win a title. And so now he's exploring those feelings, but he's doing it in a very respectful manner by turning his phone over when it vibrates instead of just like putting out all these crazy messages that gets everyone in a tizzy. I think he's handling it the right way, even if it comes with saying a whole lot of nothing.
Baby, why is CVS calling you at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday night? Chene Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented
That's
by
Domino's
Progressive
in my
Insurance.
Phone.
What? Pizza Hut with three T's. It's all getting very uncomfortable in here for people getting outed by the system. But I'll tell you what, this is not nearly as uncomfortable as what's going on in Houston right now, Chene, because James Harden, while he has checked in and gotten ready to take his COVID test and do all those things to return to play in the NBA, seems like he wants to do anything but. And I want to play you this. Richard Jefferson, our ESPN NBA analyst, was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and talked about the complete lack of decorum in this situation from everyone involved.
This doesn't look pretty for either side, right? You see when these type of things happen for the Houston Rockets, these things immediately, you know, devalue your asset. And James Harden being a player and a human being, but also being an asset as far as, you know, what he offers to other teams. And so when you do this, now all of a sudden the value goes down. Now he's still James Harden. He's still one of the top five players on the planet, best scorer on the planet. So his value is still sky high. But I don't know. There's just a level of unprofessionalism, I think, on James's side. You know, and there's a level of unprofessionalism on the Rocket side.
So, Chene, when things get messy, people tend to get desperate. In this situation, Richard Jefferson points out that the Rockets are now dealing with a situation where they've got an asset that's being devalued by the noise he's making inside of there. And so we heard the other day, James Harden, according to sources, opened the idea of a trade to Philadelphia. If you're Philly, is there any reason they pick up the phone that Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid should be off the table when it comes to what you might offer if someone like James Harden really is interested in taking your call?
Absolutely not. And I think the Nets were posed with that same question. Like, hey, is there a scenario where we can keep all three and create our own big three between KD, Kyrie, and now adding James? And I think we saw that answer happen in real time. And realistically, you'd have to deliver someone else that's a top tier talent. And so obviously you'd love to have, you know, Ben and Joel and then also have James Harden out there. But the value that James Harden brings, I think at age 31 and averaging 34 or 33 points per game, even if he gets older, like that number is not going to change that much. As much as you see this stuff on a gram and on social media, the recreational activities, you also don't see, and this is intentional, you don't see what he's working on. And that's why he was able to bring that step back and do it and people not have an answer for it. That's why he can attack the paint and draw fouls, because people, like, he doesn't show you that. He's showing you this for the reason of, I want to be out. Now, I agree that this is probably the most, if you're going to rank it on 1 to 10, the most professional way to handle it. But people handle things their own ways. And guess what? I guarantee you, teams will actually want to have James Harden, whether he posts this on social media or not. And I just think he's pitching a fit, you know, and it's not great, but at the same time, he still has a lot of the leverage, and I think that's why the Rockets are trying to hold on to him this long.
Chene, push comes to shove. You're the 76ers, and the Rockets say, we'll give you James Harden for Ben Simmons. You can attach whatever else you want to that. Are you shipping Ben Simmons out for James Harden?
I'm not going to do it because Ben Simmons is 24 years old. I believe in he can still develop, and I think that's the difference. Unless you want to win now, and guess who actually wants to do that? Daryl Morey. And so that is a potential there as well.
And I don't know why Philadelphia wouldn't want to win now either in this situation. The championship,
I said no, Cliff.
The championship window you pry open with James Harden is a lot bigger than the one that you get with a timeline like Ben Simmons based on what we've seen so far. But let me not spill too much tea this situation right now.
Cliff
and Philly can protest all they want. I still think that'd be a trade that you absolutely could and should make in that situation. But coming up next, let's talk back in the world of college football and remind people that it's not always what you do, it's how you do it next.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.